This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, episode 85. How do I get my loved one's nursing home records? The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith. Hello out there once again, and welcome to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are your co-host for this episode. A lot of fantastic things in this episode. We're going to be talking about how to get literally the medical records, documents from the nursing home. If you have a loved one that's a resident of a nursing home and you want to know what is contained in the plan of care documents or care plan documents.
Care plan documents.
Both terms used equally. Okay. What's in the nurse's notes, progress notes, these type of things. You can request these records if you so desire. And we're going to have on the show today a fellow attorney to guide us through what is entailed in that process. Will, who is our guest today?
We're going to have our colleague Ryan Locke on today. Ryan is an attorney here in Atlanta. He represents people who have been injured and people who have been unfairly convicted. His office is here in Midtown Atlanta. He's a former public defender, and he uses the same passion and relentless advocacy for his clients today. He's also an adjunct professor at Emory University School of Law.
Adjunct.
He hosts his own podcast about appellate practice and maintains comprehensive resources on his website for other lawyers, including a guide to obtaining medical records under the High Tech Act.
Which is, even though we have offices within a stone's throw of each other, that's actually how we came to know Ryan Locke, was through that website where under the High Tech law, which is a federal law about obtaining records from hospitals, nursing homes, that kind of thing. And Ryan's webpage for that, if any attorneys out there listening, that is a fantastic resource for
you.
We'll let Ryan explain how to get to that, what the website actually is. I don't have it offhand, but it was fantastic. And that's how we knew him. But the guy is smart. He's a great dude. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you very much for having me.
All right. Ryan, we were just mentioning before we brought you on air about you have this website that is geared towards attorneys, providing attorneys information on how to get medical records. But what we kind of skipped over was that you have also a podcast that you host about appellate practice. And I was mentioning to Will that this guy is a jack of all trades. Like, he's fantastic. And I feel like I know you because I've listened to you as a guest on like several other podcasts. So like, I knew the sound of your voice and everything before we even brought you on. It's really interesting, but I just wanted to give you, high fives and shout outs for that High Tech website, as well as your podcast about appellate practice.
Well, I really appreciate the kind words. Thank you.
No problem. So as we were talking about before we went on air, Ryan, our practice focuses primarily on the representation of family members of loved ones who have been hurt in a nursing home. And a part of that practice is acquiring medical records. But to back up a little bit more, sometimes our potential clients, before they even seek us out, if they have a suspicion that something's not right, if their loved one has been in and out of the hospital and they don't know what the 411 is and they want to acquire records, the point of the show today is to give them the ammunition that they need if they wanted to on their own to go and get records from either the nursing home itself or the hospital. And we know that you're an expert in that. And we've used your website a time or two ourselves. So can you just walk us through the basics of a person wanting to get literal paper documents or electronic documents? Doesn't matter. I want to know what's in my loved one's medical records. How do we go about doing that?
Well, it will depend on whether your loved one is still alive or deceased. And in either way, the easiest way to get medical records for a loved one is to have them sign a healthcare power of attorney that names you as their agent. Okay. And in that way, when they're alive, you can go and get the medical record. If they've passed, then federal law allows you to go and get medical records if you've been named in this healthcare power of attorney. So I think if people remember one thing from the next, 20 minutes or half hour, it's talk with your loved one about what they want, their final days to look like with an advanced directive, and get a healthcare power of attorney if they're going to be in, a hospital, a nursing home, somewhere where you may need to go get the medical records for whatever reason. Now to get them from places is pretty easy. And, there's no magic that, we lawyers have in getting records. Everyone gets them the same way. You just ask for them. And under this federal law called the High Tech Act, you just have to write the provider a letter and say, hey, my name's Ryan Locke. I want my medical records. Please send them to me on a CD. I'll pay for the cost of the CD, $650, the federal standard rate, and postage. It usually comes out to about $10. And so if your family member is alive and they're able to request their own records, have them do it. It'll cost you about $10 no matter how long it is. You can also request them in paper, but they'll charge you for the paper. It'll be, if the records are lengthy, it can be hundreds or even thousands of dollars. I had a request once and they billed me $5,000 before I showed them that it was the high tech request.
Sure. And let me interject in there really quickly, Ryan. So let's take that for example then. Let's say that the loved one has no issues with requesting the records themselves. So we'll take away the issue with the PO, the power of attorney or anything like that. Just so the loved one, the resident him or herself is requesting the records. Without having to go line by line, what is necessary on the piece of paper? And we'll for this first example, we'll do the High Tech Act that you mentioned, that the one where you're requesting it for electronic copies. What's essential to be on the request?
The law requires very little to be on the request. The law just requires that it's addressed to the provider, that it says you're asking for the records electronically. If you want them sent to a third party, like your spouse or your lawyer or another doctor. Or if you just want them sent to you, say, send them to me. And then your signature. And that's it.
Wow. So it's pretty simple.
It's extremely easy. I mean, you could handwrite a high tech request in about 3 minutes. It's extremely simple. And Congress made it that way because they wanted people to have access to their medical records. What I would also think about, this always trips me up in my practice, is requesting the proper dates of service. You'll probably want to include that on the letter. So that, if you're requesting records from your hospital stay and you were born at that hospital and you say, give me all your records, well, you might get 30 years of records for, when you got your tonsils out and all that. And you just don't, you don't want or need that.
So when you say when you say dates of service, you mean literally the dates in which you want the documents. So if, as you mentioned, like our example, it might be that you only want the documents from the last 6 months. So therefore you would necessarily need to write, I want from, let's say January 1 of 2018 to present. Otherwise you're going to get everything that you've ever had at the hospital. Okay.
Exactly. And it's that simple. Some facilities have their own high-tech form that they want you to fill out. I don't think that's allowed under federal law, but it's usually easier just to fill it out and give it to them. Some places will have an online portal where you can go on and request your records online. They'll either fulfill it themselves, they'll use a third-party service. There are services like a ChartSwap or Psyoc that will fulfill do the medical records function for these providers. But generally, it's all the same. You just ask them, I want my medical record. Please send them to me. I want them on a CD in PDF format. My name's Ryan Locke. Here's my signature. That's enough.
Now, Ryan, in what we deal with are nursing homes, and these nursing homes are oftentimes in the 159 counties that we have in Georgia. You can imagine that some of these nursing homes are very basic. They're not very advanced. And I don't know if they have them in electronic format. Are they required to keep them in electronic format?
You know, they're not. And the High Tech Act was essentially a kind of a deal where they said, providers, we will give you grants from the federal government to start using electronic medical records, hosting and services and that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But in exchange, if you have them all, you know, in PDF format in your system, you can't print them out and charge people per page. If they want them electronically and you can provide them that way, then do it.
Yeah.
You know, I found that the big medical providers, you know, big organizations like hospitals, organizations with a lot of doctors like Resurgin, they're all on board already. Sure. And they know the deal. Where I run into trouble is, you know, small provider, you know, a podiatrist in a small town where he's the doctor, his wife's the bookkeeper, and they just don't really run into this stuff. I found that by educating them about the High Tech Act, usually they will charge less than what you would pay under the Georgia statutory rate, the per page rate, because they're just happy to get you the record and not have to go copy 800 pages. Right. You know, if you're like, hey, if you guys just email this to me, you know, I'll pay you 25, 30, 40 bucks. And they're just happy to do that and not have to spend a day dealing with it.
Right. And so, Ryan, you've mentioned what the individual resident can do if they have the capacity to request their records from the nursing home. Can you walk us through what would be essential and required if that individual was working through a loved one that had a healthcare power of attorney? What would be required for that individual, the power of attorney, to request the documents on behalf of their loved one?
You know, under the High Tech Act, it's the same thing. You just need to include that power of attorney.
And what about a HIPAA release? Is that required?
You know, under the High Tech Act, no. A HIPAA release is not required. I would suggest including one anyway. On my request, sometimes I'll include them and I'll say, hey, look, you may need to call me about this request and talk to me about this protected health information. And so there's a HIPAA authorization in here so that you can do that. If you're a relative, you probably want to do that anyway. See, I imagine that the healthcare power of attorney would probably also be a HIPAA release. There'd probably be language in there, mm-hmm. but I would look to make sure.
And for the audience, Ryan, could you explain what a HIPAA release is?
Yeah, so there's this federal law that was passed in 96, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, and everyone called it HIPAA. And it's kind of the Bible of medical records and protected health information. And it's the law that governs what doctors can reveal to other people, you know, who they can send the medical records to, the whole shebang. And so a HIPAA release will usually be a form, and you'll have to fill it out with the name of the patient and the social security number of the patient, the date of birth, and all this stuff, and then sign it at the bottom. And it's kind of the standard release that everyone uses to get medical records or talk about medical stuff. It's essentially a piece of paper that says, hey, you're allowed to talk about my medical stuff with the person identified on this release. The trick in using it to request records is if you use that HIPAA release, under Georgia state law, they can charge you per page for the records that they give you. The cost will be astronomical. But if you use a high tech request, that's the simple letter. Hey, please send me my medical records on a CD. It'll cost you about 10 bucks. So you want to make sure that if you're requesting records, and you know they're going to be a lot of pages. I mean, maybe, you know, if it's 20 or 30 pages, maybe it's not a big deal. If you know it's going to be hundreds or thousands of pages, you want to make sure you use that high-tech request, sending the letter, and that you have a HIPAA authorization kind of in reserve in case they call you up and say, hey, we want to talk to you about this, but we need an authorization to do so.
Here's a question, Ryan. You know, it's one thing having a law that says that you have to do something, but does it have any enforcement? What happens if they don't follow through?
It does. The Office of Civil Rights in Health and Human Services, which is the federal agency that deals with all these laws. If people aren't following, if medical providers aren't following these laws, you can complain to the Office of Civil Rights. They will launch an investigation and they will impose penalties on medical providers if they're jerking you around. I found that I have to say I have no personal experience in medical providers getting imposed penalties, because I found as soon as you complain, and it's easy, if there's an online form that you fill out on Health and Human Services webpage. Once you do the complaint, the medical provider is immediately notified that someone has filed a complaint, and then they get those records to you pretty quick.
Right.
So that it seems to be that lighting that fire gets the results that you want. So there is, you know, there is a stick involved where if providers are jerking you around, then, you know, you can kind of drop the hammer on them. I found that high tech's been around for about a decade. So I found that most providers know about it. And the ones that don't are either, you know, real small town providers who just never had to deal with it, or don't really deal with people requesting records a lot, you know, like podiatrists, dentists, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or providers that just simply don't use any electronic medical record software, which surprisingly some providers still do everything in paper, everything handwritten, the whole thing.
So when the family member has requested via high tech the medical records for the nursing home, how is it coming to them? I think you mentioned that it's a CD, but on the CD, what can they expect? What kind of format? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. The provider is required to send the records to you in the format that you request, and in a format that's able to be read by you. The only exception is sometimes if you request these kind of specialized imaging files, let's say that someone got an MRI. Well, you know, the image that the radiologist looks at is not the kind of thing that you can pull up on your computer without some specialized software. A lot of times, if they send that to you, they'll include the software on the disk. But that's the only kind of exception where things might get a little iffy. You might not be able to pull it up unless you have the right thing. But for, you know, your day in, day out medical records, they will send you a CD. You'll pop that CD in your CD drive. There'll be a PDF on it. You open it up, there's the medical record.
Okay. And under the High Tech Act, it will have to come through a CD. This is not something that can be emailed to you. Is that, I mean, or maybe not. I mean, like, how, so the, in other words, the resident, if they don't have a CD player or a CD mm-hmm. drive on their computer, they don't even have a computer, you know, maybe there, this is probably not, maybe I guess would be a good option to ask for electronic records.
I think it's a bad question.
Let's
go back and pretend I didn't ask that stupid question. Because what do you think? So they can't put in a CD, but they have email?
Yeah. So like, look, they don't have a computer. They have no knowledge.
But I have email.
Yeah.
Can you send it? Is there a channel on DirecTV that you can send this to? Sorry, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm not editing that out either. No. Okay, so
we're going to start. Hold on, man. We're going to start over just for a second.
Okay, sorry. Right. Okay, so I got to do this.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. I don't care. That was a dumb question. All right, we'll just keep that.
They can email it to you.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's permissible.
Okay.
A lot of providers won't because they think the law says you can't, but the law says you can, and some providers will.
Okay. So, but you have to have an email address to get the email, though. That's the most important lesson
and
that we can take.
You also have to have a computer to access that email.
I'm just saying you can also use your phone. It's kind of, that's in a roundabout way. That was kind of where my question was going. Like if I don't have a laptop computer, I don't have a CD drive, but I can look at my phone. So that's an option for one of these people, which many of our clients fall in that category. They can have it emailed to them, and as long as they have the appropriate Adobe Acrobat on their phone, they can look at the records on their phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
It comes back around to me.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, Ryan.
Oh, no. I was going to say, because some of my clients are like this too, where, you know, they don't have a computer, but they have a phone, and they want to request the records by email. Well, they can either request the records emailed to themselves, And then it's in their email and they can forward it to, you know, they can go to the library and print it out if they want. They can forward it to a lawyer. But you can also, in this high-tech request, ask for the records to be sent to a third party. So you can easily say, hey, I'm Ryan Locke and I want to request my records. Please email an electronic copy to my lawyer, Shank Smith. Here's their email address. Thanks. And, you know, the provider, they're not required to use email, but they're certainly permitted to do it.
What is the number one thing or a couple of top things that you see that are problems when people are requesting records through the High Tech Act?
You know, it's the same problems that we face as lawyers, right?
Yeah.
That people just face when requesting medical records. You know, I think one is you may not realize how many different providers are actually treating you. So, you know, if you go to a hospital, you know, let's say, you know, I'm in a car wreck and I've got to go to the ER. Well, the ER physician will treat me and the records they generate will be held by the hospital, but the billing records that they have are held by a separate entity. Radiologists may do some imaging. Let's say they do a, you know, a CT scan to make sure that my neck's okay. But they're not employees of the hospital. They're independent contractors. And so that imaging may be held by a separate entity, and only the report is included in the medical record. So I think it's important to, when you're requesting records from an entity like that, where there might be a lot of different thumbs in the pie.
Yeah.
The first thing to do is just read the records and make sure you have everything you want. You know, you may come across an MRI report and the MRI report says everything looks normal. And then you may not want to get the actual imaging because you say, hey, it's not really important. Or maybe you do, so that you can have some other doctor look at it to make sure that they did it right. Mm-hmm. Then you got to make sure that you get that from another source. I think number two is making sure that you get the dates of service right. And I can't tell you how many times I've requested records and I've included the date of service, but I made a mistake and did 2017 or 2018, and they come back and say, we don't have any records, because they treat those dates of service seriously. So you want to make sure that, one, your dates of service are correct. The dates of services are the date range, in which you want records. And number two, you can use that to kind of limit your cost. You know, if you've had to go to the ER 5 times this year, but the only records you're interested in getting are the last time, tell them. Say, I only want records from, you know, May 23rd to May 28th. And they'll send you only those.
And that's an important point for our audience to listen to, because oftentimes, at least in our experience, sometimes these residents have been in these nursing homes for, we've got one client who was in the nursing home for 20 years before something happened. You know,
also even if it's cheap through the high tech, I don't want 20 years of records.
So be wary about, maybe, you know, if the loved one saw a bed sore on the resident 6 months ago, you might not just want 6 months ago, but you want to go back a little bit further in time than that. So just as Ryan mentioned, be wary, to get the dates of service right, but also think about, you know, whatever the problem is and whatever you want to read about when it might have been happening or when it might have been documented. It might not be the day that you saw it. It might be 18 months before that. So just kind of keep that in mind in terms of when you actually are making that high tech request with regards to the dates of service.
Now, what about the fee that they can, it's not just the per page or how voluminous the records are. Can they charge you for actually searching for these records? I mean, that does take man hours itself.
So the answer is no. Well, I guess the answer is yes, but it's built into the cost.
I got you.
So they're allowed to, right. So they're allowed to compute that cost in a couple of different ways. One way is the kind of average cost it takes to search through these records. Almost no one computes it that way. Or they're allowed to charge a flat $6.50. And almost everyone charges it that way. So they're allowed to charge you the $6.50 to find the record. the amount, whatever it costs, the CD cost, a couple bucks, and then whatever the postage costs to mail it to you, a couple bucks. And so generally, you know, these requests, you know, they'll bill between, I don't know, 10 and 20 bucks for however, you know, it could be 30 pages. It could be, you know, 30,000 pages of record. It's going to be about between 10 and 20 bucks.
And
that's the real magic of the High Tech Act. It really affords people to be able to get their own record.
And I was just going to say, Ryan, because I think we breezed over this, and you and I and Will know this as attorneys because we deal with this headache every day in terms of getting medical records. But for the audience member out there that might not know, what without the high tech, walk us through the costs and what happens with that. And we'll say that so, there's 5,000 pages.
Right. I actually had a request that was 5,000 pages. And thankfully, I had sent in a high tech request and they tried to bill me the old rate. And I said, no, no, no. The old way under Georgia law, they're allowed to charge you per page they print out. And so it's a tiered structure where it gets cheaper the more pages they print out, but it's a dollar a page, beginning and it's just all way more expensive than you would think. And so not only will you request the record and then they send you an invoice and say, oh, you want 5,000 pages? It's going to be $9,000. And then you say, well, $9,000 is a lot, but this is important. So I guess I'll pay it. And so you pay the $9,000 and then they mail you like, you know, 10 or 12 banker's boxes of documents. And then you say, oh, now I've got a living room full of medical documents. I got to get these to the lawyer. You got to load them up somehow and get them over to the lawyer. Lawyer's going to put them all on the conference table and go, well, shoot, now my staff's got to spend 2 days scanning all these in so that I can look at them. And then finally, after all this work, you can get to the real valuable work, which is reading the medical records and understanding what happened.
Exactly.
But now, under the High Tech Act, you go, I want my medical records. They send a CD in the mail to you, or you say, I want my medical records. Please send them to my lawyer. And they send a CD to the lawyer. You pop it into the computer, save it into the case file, and double click, open it up, and start doing the important work. I mean, it literally shaves thousands of dollars off the cost and days off the preparation.
Without a doubt. Yeah. We can't underscore that enough to the listener. I mean, like before, like when we would send high tech and they would still send the invoices, what's the highest amount of invoice that we've gotten? $12,000? I think we got a $12,000 invoice once for medical records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, easily. I mean, they were all routinely because our cases we're dealing with very voluminous records.
Yeah.
And they were routinely $1,000. I mean, anywhere from $6,000 to $2,000 was pretty routine, which is a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You're talking about 10 or 15 cases.
It's a racket. Yeah. It's a racket. But
oh yeah. Well, the real terrible thing is it's coming out of the client's pocket. Now,
yep.
I mean, I'm paying for it ahead of time, but the client's going to pay it on the back end when we settle the case or we win the trial.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so I'm really passionate about this because it's another way to save the client money. I mean, they already paid the medical provider for the medical treatment. The medical provider is earning money off of these medical records. And then they're trying to sell them back to you for stuff they already did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't seem right. Well, Ryan, walk us through how our audience members can get a hold of you and definitely tell us about number one, the website that features the information that we've been talking about today about the High Tech Act and how to get medical records. It's really in depth and it's a great resource for not just attorneys, but, people that have loved ones in nursing homes and tell us about how to listen to that podcast.
Sure. So you can get a hold of me or you can go to my website. It's the lock, LOCKE firm.com. And all my contact information is on there. You can, if you go to thelockfirm.com/high tech, HITECH, that's my high tech guide. You know, it's written for lawyers, in requesting these records. But if you are not a lawyer, you can still use this site. I have a sample letter on there that you can download and use. If they give you pushback on the High Tech Act, I have sample responses that you can use if they try to jerk you around. There's a link to the Office of Civil Rights within HHS where you could file a complaint. So everything you need there to kind of take control of this medical records process and request the records that you need. My podcast, you're either going to be into it or you won't. It's Georgia Appellate Review. It's available everywhere podcasts are sold. And if you want to learn about what appellate lawyers do and some insider baseball about that, give it a listen. I will, if you are not a lawyer, I will not fault you if you're not interested. But if you're into that kind of thing, stop by. We think it's pretty cool.
I found it. I loved it. Ryan has on that podcast, literal oral arguments from the Georgia Court of Appeals, as well as interviews with appellate attorneys about, you know, how do they construct their arguments, you know, how they get the cases, why they take these cases. I think it's interesting. You're right. I mean, it's a niche market you're going to, but I thought it was really cool.
And what practice areas are you serving clients from, Ryan?
So I do two things. I represent people who are injured primarily in car wrecks, or if you're injured on someone else's property, or if you're injured at work, that kind of thing. And I represent people who were unfairly convicted. And a lot of the people I represent who were unfairly convicted, I am appointed, as a contract public defender. I was a public defender when I first came out of law school and kind of continue that service with that. But I do take private clients every once in a while. But a lot of my, you know, if you want to hire me, most people hire me because they were injured in a car wreck or on someone else's property or at work, something like that.
And just to be clear, to tie it together, when you say unfairly convicted, that means you're not a defense attorney. You're an appellate attorney that you take things up on appeal and argue them on appeal. So that's where the,
that's right. I used to have a criminal trial practice. I still do a few cases every now and again, but, you know, my main focus, and I think where I can do the most good for people, is if you've been convicted and you need to appeal that conviction, that's where I come in.
Fantastic. Well, Ryan, you've provided invaluable information for our audience today. We really appreciate you coming on. You've been fantastic, and we appreciate it. And yeah, go never, check out the podcast. I never said the goodbyes correctly, and I feel like it's okay with Ryan because he has a podcast himself. So, like,
it's hard.
Yeah, it's difficult because, like, you know, like, get out of here. But I don't want to say that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, hang up already. But, like, yeah. Okay. So, Ryan, thanks for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I had fun.
All right. Well, that was fantastic.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah. What else is going on?
September is Daniela's birthday.
I was afraid that you were going to mispronounce her name again. It's Daniela.
But you weren't afraid that I remembered her birthday and her fiancé didn't.
That's correct.
Okay.
Daniela, in the span of this show, has gone from, what, new girlfriend? To now fiancé.
She's also gone from Danielle to Daniela.
No. Danieller. Like, I mean, there's been a lot of reiterations of this person's name.
Yeah.
But it is.
But we'll never know really which one is her name.
I mean, because we can't read the birth certificate because it's in Portuguese.
Yeah.
So her birthday is the 13th. Today's Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it's Thursday the 13th. I hope it's the 13th. Somebody's is the 14th. That's my niece Coco, I think.
Another very good friend of ours, Sonia Lacani, is September 15th.
This is like a very important week of birthdays.
Yeah.
Right. And she's 28. Sonia is. Turning 28.
Sonia.
Turning 28.
Lacani is.
Turning 28.
No, she's not. I don't understand the joke here.
Like, everybody's young, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
unless she really is turning 28 and I hit it on the head.
Oh, no, she's in her 30s.
Moron. Okay.
I don't understand.
I mean, that's the, you don't understand that usually women, you don't tell their age. So you're like, oh, I'm turning 28 again this year, or turning 29. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I mean, okay. Mr. Literal Will Smith. She's not turned 28.
I don't understand.
I know her better than you.
Yeah. Sorry, okay. Sonia Lacani.
Yeah. All right.
At anyway. Trademark lawyer lady.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that concludes this episode. Happy birthday, Daniela and Sonia.
Yeah. Daniela's turning 13.
And Coco. Yeah. She's not turning 13. Anyway, you can get this podcast if you want. I mean, whatever you want.
Yeah.
On Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify.
You can go to www.nursinghomeabusepodcast.com.
And our YouTube channel. And with that, we will see you next time.
See you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.